When God made you and God made me, He made us a wonderful place to be. We have woods and hills and waterfalls. We have all kinds of creatures, great and small. When God made you and God made me, He gave us an awesome responsibility. We are to take care of the earth. There's a great political debate waging in our world concerning global warming. Some affirm it and some deny it. Meanwhile, the rest of us sweated through the hottest summer that I can remember in all of my lifetime this past few months. But I've not come today to talk a political debate. I have not come to preach about an inconvenient truth. I have come to declare to you an absolute truth, an undebatable fact, an everlasting reality. The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. Would you say that with me? The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. One more time and you'll get it. The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. Until this sovereign truth becomes an abiding conviction, we're lost in an endless debate and ultimate destruction. The earth does belong to the Lord. And that's where we have to start. We are stewards of God's creation. That is a religious truth for you and for me. I know not everybody agrees with that. And some who agree with it get so involved and invested in themselves and their own worlds that they hardly ever think about it. After all, we are tempted to say, it's my land, it's my house, it's my car, it's my investments. I will do with them as I please. We become so engrossed in appointments and accomplishments and accolades and assets that we have little time to consider any other alternative. That's why every once in a while we need to be shocked into reality that the earth belongs to the Lord. Jesus told a sobering parable about self-possessed people. We call it the parable of the rich fool. The ground of a certain rich man produced much, and the bountiful harvest created a severe problem. What shall I do? Where can I store my crops? And the self-centeredness of this successful man immediately becomes evident as we read that little story. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. I, me, myself, mine, 15 times in two verses. Go back and count it. 15 times in two verses. Do you ever get the feeling he's sort of self-absorbed? Or as my favorite saying is, that people all wrapped up in themselves make pretty small packages. But God called this guy a fool. That's what he said. Not a robber, not a thief, not an adulterer, not an abuser, not a liar, and certainly not lazy. But he just called him a fool. A nitwit, a dumbbell, a crackpot, a bonehead. I don't know what you call fools along the way, but I suspect you got some names along the way. Why? How could you be this stupid? Stupid is as stupid does. Come on, guy. You got to figure out life, and life is bigger than just you and your little world, and everything that happens to you. People sooner or later ought to learn in life that you don't own the place. And the quicker we learn it, the better we'll be in the long run. Some people doubt that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Some people know that the earth is the Lord's, and if it's the Lord's, then let the Lord be responsible for it. It's his problem. After all, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And if I'm headed out of here, then let the Lord worry about this place that's left behind. It's his problem. After all, it's probably all going to be destroyed anyway. Why should I be concerned about anything? And maybe the quicker the better. I'll just get on with my life and I'll live for heaven that is yet to come. I don't find that in the Bible. You just can't get that conclusion out of the scriptures. God is interested in the world. God is concerned about the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Or take those words of Jesus that are so powerful and yet so pragmatic. Consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. God doesn't miss a single one of them. God knows every time a sparrow falls. Now, if that's not interested in creation, I don't know what is. God is concerned about the most intricate, the most minute. Thanks for turning off the phone. The most minute. Every little detail of life, God is concerned about that. Not only that, it was Job who one time said, even the whales were made to praise God. Even the whales were made to praise God. All of creation sings in glory and thanksgiving to the Almighty. Remember whose world it is anyway. You and I are not the center of the universe. We have some reason to be born, save to consume the corn and eat the fish and leave behind a dirty dish. You have a reason to be here. And your reason to be here is a good steward of all that God has created for us. When will we learn that? You see, that's not debatable. That's an absolute truth. You can't argue that point. It's in the book. The earth belongs to God. We're not owners, we're renters. We're not kings, we're stewards. We're not masters of our fate and captains of our souls. The very air we breathe, the very air we breathe is a gift of God. Just think about it for a moment. Now, if that is true, and it is, if that is reality, and it is, then you and I have an awesome responsibility. It's all over the psalm, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 8. It's every place. For God has given us dominion over the works of God's hands and put all things under our feet. And by dominion, the Bible means steward or manager or caretaker or gardener. We're here as stewards. That's what a steward is. It takes care of the place. For the owner, it's the person who takes care of the daily responsibilities because somebody greater owns the place in the first place. There are several ways, it seems to me, that this works out. On the one hand, we are co-creators with God. Be fruitful and multiply. The invitation was to participate with God in the creation of the world. What an honor. What a privilege the Lord God Almighty gave you and me to participate in creation itself. One of the great joys of my life is to occasionally get to visit a new parents in the hospital. It's a new day in visiting new infants. You just get to walk right into the place and get to hold the babies and kiss them and pray over them and do all the rest. It's just a real joy. What can I say? I love every minute of it. But I always in that moment try to have a blessing. Try to lay my hand on the forehead of that newborn and say a prayer. And I pray something like this: Dear God, thank you for allowing these parents to participate with you in the glorious wonder of creating life. Dear God, thank you for giving these parents the wonderful opportunity to participate with you in the creation of life. Sustain them in the task that ahead and bless this new life to your honor and glory through all of his or her days, co-creating with God. What a wonderful privilege. You think about it. Be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply. The world needs good people, good parents, good children. 4 years ago or so, when I was undergoing a stem cell transplant, and they all gathered in the room with those big long needles, tubes from which I was hoping to find life. I said to everybody gathered there, y'all just wait a minute. Stop. Stop here. I'm paying you. Stop for a minute. I hunted all the doctors I could find. I hunted all the interns I could find. I hunted all the nurses I could find. I hunted all the nurse practitioners I could find. I got the custodians and the social workers from the desk outside, and they got all in my room. And I said, now we're going to pray. Have a prayer meeting. Scared some of them, but we're going to have a prayer meeting. I got to pray before we go any further with this. And I said something like this: Dear God, dear God, thank you for the wisdom and compassion of these people who have developed and now come to administer this medicine to my sick body. I praise you and thank you for their commitment to good health. They are workers with you for the good of the world. And I praise you for their servant attitude that would tend to somebody as ornery as me and try to give me something that would make me better in the long run. And now, oh God, help this medicine work for Christ's sake. Amen. You see what I'm trying to say? Co-creators with God in the goodness of the world. Many of you do that every day in many and multiple ways. Every time I see a beautiful painting, every time I see a beautiful building, every time I'm privileged to sit in a pew and hear and see this beautiful sanctuary, every time I observe a beautiful sculpture, I think, what an opportunity, what a privilege, what a privilege to participate with God in creating something beautiful for the world. One of our creeds, I think, says it the very best: we're not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and who is creating. Co-creators with God. Not only do we participate in creation itself, but we participate in taking care of all that God has created. The psalmist is right: of the flocks and the herds, of the beasts of the field, of the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, we have responsibility for all of these. During World War II, patriotic Americans recycled cans and old tires for the war effort. Some of you, a few of you here, can remember that activity. People of that great generation valued hard work and modest consumption and consistent giving and frugal spending. They lived on a simple motto of life: buy what you need and make it last as long as you can. Now I have to ask, what has become of that spirit? What has happened to that attitude in a consumer-oriented, take what you want and throw out the trash kind of world? Have we lost something that our fathers and mothers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers understood dynamically and were willing to do? Not for their sakes, but for the common good, for the good of others, for the sake of people who were to come after them. What's happened to that kind of spirit in our world? What would it take to recover it, you know? It is my observation that there are basically two kinds of people in the world. On the one hand, there are those who put in more than they take out. And on the other hand, there are those who take out more than they put in. There are those who know no reason to be born save to consume the corn and eat the fish and leave behind a dirty dish. And then there are others who say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be an offering far, far too small. A getter or giver, which are you? You see, I think at our heart we want to do better. I really do. Are we willing to do the little things for the good of all? Change our light bulbs. Recycle our plastic and our newspapers. Change our thermostat a degree or two. Turn off the lights. Drive fuel-efficient cars. Plant more trees. Are we willing to live by that discipline in the church where we not only preach it and teach it, but need to live it as well? You see, I believe at the core of the human soul, there is a desire to be good stewards of all God has entrusted to us. I believe in the human spirit, there's a will to do better than we sometimes do. I believe it's in your soul, and it's in mine as well. I remember 25 years ago that the streams where I liked to fish were so polluted with garbage and dumps and people just dumping their trash out in the country because they didn't want to be responsible for it any other way. And people finally came to the point of saying, you know, this is not right. We ought not to trash the streams where the fish die. And they got to work about it, and they changed it. And it's different today than it was 20 years ago. And it ought to always be different, whether it's the Harpeth River in Williamson County or any place else in the United States, you know. We can do better, and we ought to do better, because it's God's creation. That's why we ought to do better. It's God's creation. And we are responsible as good stewards. A few of you are old enough to remember the nuclear threat drills that we used to go through in high school. I was 14, 15. I was scared to death. Scared out of my wits. The drills. And everybody talking about build yourself a bomb shelter. A few of you remember that. That was part of our life back then. We thought it was what had to be. And then, you know, the leaders of the world said, wait a minute. We don't have to live this way. Nobody's going to win at this. Everybody's going to die at this. We can do better than this. And then that day, what was it, 88, 89, when the Berlin Wall came down, I've got a little piece of that concrete in my office. I use it as a paperweight because I always want to remember what can happen when good people and praying people come together for the good, for the sake of the common good. What can happen? What a difference can be made because people care not just for themselves, but they care for the world. And if we can do that with our streams, and we can do that with our nuclear threat of a Holocaust, we can do that with almost every challenge that rises before us if we want to. You know, the key is, do we want to? Do we care enough to do something about it? One more thing I want to say, and then I'm going to quit. We're called to be co-creators. We're called to take care of, to have dominion over, to be good stewards of. And then the psalm clearly calls us to celebrate. Did you see how it starts? And do you perceive how it ends? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who is there to sing God's praises but God's people? Who is there to shout the glory of God except those who believe in God, those who trust their lives to him? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, it makes me want to sing. Why don't you sing it with me? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me. Everywhere it makes you want to sing, just sing it with me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I'll praise my Maker while I breath, and when my eyes shall close in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall ne'er be past. While life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. Makes you want to sing, doesn't it? Why don't you sing it with me? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how Amen. I think we need a little time to pray. Maybe just to say, thank you, Jesus. You've seen us through. Some people have asked for you to pray for them. You got time to read their names in the bulletin. I want to share with you a few changes to that. Leslie Harvey and Andy Lawrence are home, for which we're grateful. But we want to pray today for the Boss family, Michael Boss, and his son Brandon. He lost his wife and Brandon's mother on Friday afternoon. She's 34 years old. There are new members in this congregation. Her service will be here on Tuesday in the chapel at 6 o'clock. It's an opportunity for us to reach out to new people. They've only been members here about 5-6 weeks. We need to pray for them and with them today. Justin Neese is having surgery soon. We pray for him. And this time you have a card in your bulletin. Let me ask all of you, every person here, to register your attendance. If you're a regular member, just give us your name. If you're a guest, we'd love to have your address, telephone number. We'd like to communicate with you about this congregation. If you've made some decision for Jesus Christ today, or if you wish more information about this congregation, you can use this tool to communicate with us this morning. We'll take them up on the last hymn. If you would take this time of prayer and reflection to complete this card of registration and connection, we would be grateful to you. Now we have plenty of time before the hour's out, and so let us pray. Let us pray together.